Well, good morning, everyone. Today we want to talk, we're continuing to talk about how the New Testament people that were in the early book of Acts, the gospel message that was brought to them, the gospel of the kingdom, and how they responded to that. And here's what we've said so far. We looked at the conversion of Paul in Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, and Acts chapter 26, and we see that Ananias told Paul, well, it was told by Jesus to Paul in Acts 9, 6, go into Damascus and it will be told you what you must do. Ananias came and said, why are you delaying? Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And so in the New Testament, the way that the people that have repented of their sins and put faith in Christ, called upon the name of the Lord, was by going to the waters of baptism, and it was their faith being expressed and acted upon, and the result was the sending away or the washing away of their sins. Now, we also looked at what the Apostle Paul said about his own baptism in his letters as he wrote in Romans, Colossians, and Galatians. In Romans 6, he says, don't you know that when you were baptized into Jesus Christ, you were baptized into his death? And so it wasn't a symbol. It wasn't symbolic. You were baptized into his death. You were buried with him by baptism. You were raised with him, and the old man, the sinful nature, was destroyed, and you came under a new master righteousness, Jesus as Lord, Jesus as King, Jesus as Savior, as he delivered you from that body of sin that controlled you, and now you can make legitimate choice towards righteousness because righteousness is now your master. And it all worked together with repentance, the change of heart, faith, baptism, the washing away of your sins. And so we see then also in Colossians 2, Paul said it was a spiritual circumcision. It was cutting away the sinful nature as you were buried in baptism in Colossians 2, 11 and 12. And then Paul said in Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27, he says, we're all the children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And then he says, as many of you as were baptized into Jesus have put on Christ. So they're a dying to sin. You rise and you've now put on Christ, and your master now is righteousness. So that's what Paul said about baptism, his own baptism. And then we look a little bit about what Peter said. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, you know, he told the people that you with wicked hands crucified the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, but God raised him from the dead. They were pricked in their heart. They were very convicted for their sins and what they had done. And you know, Jesus came to save sinners. We were guilty as they were. We nailed him to the tree through our own sinfulness. When Jesus came, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. So he went to the cross and he died there. And these people were convicted when they heard this message of the King, the one that they were to respond to. God has made both Lord and Christ. He was the one that was to have authority over them. He was the Lord. He should have been the boss. He was Christos, Christ, the anointed King. We should have repented and come under his rule and his reign. Instead, we crucified him. And as a result, they were convicted. They were cut to the heart, the Bible says. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And remember, all 12 apostles were there. And Peter didn't go have a conference and say, what should we do? What should we tell these people to do? They want to get saved. What do we need to tell them to do? You know, one apostle says, ask Jesus into their heart. The other apostle says, no, tell them to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Another apostle says, no, tell them to ask Jesus into their life. Another apostle says, call them forward and get them to pray, repeat a prayer after us. And you say the prayer, Peter, and get them to repeat that prayer. No, none of those things went on. And yet that is the common procedure of Christianity today, but we see nothing like that at all in the Bible. And so I'd rather follow the Bible, I'd rather follow the New Testament, and I'd rather change my theology and have people come against me and, you know, be persecuted and all that and walk in the truth than I would to walk in my traditions that I received in my church or in Bible colleges or wherever you've come from. Why not receive the truth of the Word of God and change your theology according to the Word of God? So the first thing that Peter says, you must repent. You must repent of your sins. Same thing John the Baptist said, same thing that Jesus said. Jesus, same thing he commissioned his 12 and the 70 to say. They went out and preached that men should repent, that they should turn from their sins, that they should turn to God in his mercy and forgiveness, that they should have a change of heart, an about face, a conversion where they're turning around to go a new direction. And then Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. There is no exception. There was no New Testament disciple, follower of Christ, Christian, whatever you want to call them, that was not a baptized Christian in the New Testament. Just go through the book of Acts. You'll see it. Even the Philippian jailer, in the middle of the night, he said, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He took him straightway. That means immediately, and baptized him. That had to be about 3 o'clock in the morning because it was at midnight. Paul and Silas sang praises unto God. And then there was the earthquake. Then the jailer came in. And anyway, he was converted and baptized immediately. So we see this pattern going on in the New Testament. So Peter says on the day of Pentecost, he knew exactly what to say. He didn't have to have a council with the other 12 to decide what to say. They knew what to say. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, into the name of Jesus Christ. We looked at Vine's lexicon. It says being baptized into the name indicates the person baptized was closely bound to or became the property of the one into whose name he was baptized. You became the property of the Lord Jesus Christ through that act of baptism. That was the cutting off of the sin, of the old nature, of everything to follow Jesus in the early New Testament church. So be baptized, every one of you, into the name. And Paul described it as being baptized into his death, into his resurrection, a spiritual circumcision, and the putting on of Christ, dying to sin and arising clothed with Christ. And that's what we see. You know, often people say, well, baptism doesn't save you. Well, you know, I understand what people are trying to say when they say that. But, you know, if you're going to be truthful about what the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:21 that baptism does save you. The only thing it says is that baptism does now save us. It says not the putting off of the flesh, not washing dirt off your body, but an answer of God, an appeal to God for a clear conscience by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It tells us how it saves us. It saves us through the atoning work of Jesus. It's the atonement, the blood of Jesus, that cleanses us from sin. But when we go down into those waters of baptism, that is our faith coming in union with the redemptive work of Christ. The result is a sins remitted, washed away, and a new man coming forth, having put on and being clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said it this way in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, in our denominations, we have changed the scriptures and we have changed the words of Jesus. We are contradicting Christ because we say he that believeth and is not baptized will be saved. But Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So, you know, I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it. The book of Revelation says we are not to add to or take away from the Word of God. It's dangerous when we do some of the things that we're doing in modern Christianity today. Then we looked at Acts chapter 8, and we saw that there was persecution against the church. All the church was scattered, and they went preaching everywhere except for the apostles that stayed in Jerusalem. The army went out. The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher are to perfect the saints, it says in Ephesians 4, so that they do the work of the ministry. We have said, no, that's the generals. We'll send the generals to war. The army will stay in their bunker and sleep. Really. And because of that, we send out the clergy, the preachers, to go out and do the work of the ministry. God never ordained that. He meant for an army to go out and bring the gospel of the kingdom all over this world. We need to go back, folks, to the Word of God, and we need to go back to the Bible's way of doing things. People say, oh, I can watch it so-and-so on TV and get evangelized. Well, what if you're in a third world nation where they don't have electricity? No, Jesus meant it, people to go out two by two or one-on-one, bring the gospel to every creature. And if they reject you and reject it, they're rejecting Jesus. And Jesus said, just go from there and go to the next town and preach the word of God. So Philip, he went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ, the anointed king, Christos. And it says, as he preached the kingdom of God and the person of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ, people were baptized. There were demons that came out of people, shrieks and paralytics that were healed, and the lame were healed because they had come in conflict here now with a kingdom of darkness and a kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God being the stronger power broke the demonic power of Satan that he had over people's lives. And it should be the same today. But again, the church has taught all that ceased. The devil's got all the power. Hey, God is almighty. He's almighty God. He does not change. I am the Lord. I change not. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Spirit is the same yesterday and today, forever. Hey, we need to go be restored and realize the rule and reign of God has arrived, that the kingdom of God comes not in words only, but in power and demonstration, demonstrating to the world that the authority and power of God has overcome the authority and power of the little G-O-D, God of this world. Again, we need to be restored to the gospel. We need to tell people to repent. We need to tell people to be baptized. And we need to tell people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we saw yesterday also that Philip went out into the desert because he was led there by the Spirit. And he talked to the Ethiopian eunuch. And he was reading out of Isaiah 53, I believe verse 7 and 8. And it said that Philip started at the same scripture out of that Old Testament prophecy written 700 years before Christ and preached it to him, Jesus. And as they came to water, he says, there's water. What would hinder me right now from being baptized? And he said, if thou believest, Acts 8:37, with all thy heart, it's a wholehearted thing, then you may. And he was baptized. Baptism was immersion. It means literally to dip. It was used of dyeing a garment so that that garment changed from what it was to something else. It might have been a white garment. Then it was dyed in purple dye. It came out purple. It changed its identity. We go down as in our sin and we rise up in Jesus' righteousness, having put on Christ. And how did that eunuch know that he was to be baptized? Because all it said that he preached, Philip preached unto him Jesus. So within the preaching of Jesus, the message of salvation is the instruction to be baptized. That's the way it is in the early New Testament church. You can read it through the book of Acts. You can see it clearly from Acts chapter 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch that within the message of preaching Jesus and his salvation, they were instructed to be baptized. There was no such thing as a non-baptized Christian in the early church. And then Peter said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, what did they think when they said it? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They'd already seen it happen there in Acts chapter 2. What did they see? They saw a manifestation of God's Spirit. They spoke in tongues. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. It said in Acts 2:4, and they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What was that? That was an indication that the Holy Spirit had come upon an individual. It was a sign, okay? If I said, repeat this prayer after me, and you repeat it, and you said, well, now you have the Holy Spirit. And they say, well, I do. Yeah, I do. Now, don't ever doubt it. You have the Holy Spirit, so on and so forth. Well, but there was no sign. You don't know if you have the Holy Spirit or not. In the New Testament, there was a sign. There was an indication that a person had the Holy Spirit. And in the early New Testament church, it usually was either the sign of speaking in tongues, which meant that God gave a language in order to them to praise God and worship God with, or they prophesied, which meant they spoke in a language which was known and understood, an utterance given them by the Holy Spirit. And these were all signs or evidences or manifestations of the Holy Spirit that showed people around them and showed the individuals themselves that they had received the Holy Spirit. Is it the same today? I believe that it is. Because Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, he said, go and preach the gospel. And he says, these signs will follow the believer. It says, first of all, they shall cast out demons. We still have the authority. We still should see the miracles. People were delivered from demons many times and healed because they had a demon. We should see the healings. We should see the deliverances. So the first thing that Jesus said believers would have, they would have authority to cast out demons. And along with that comes the healing of the sick. He says they would lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's given to all believers, all disciples, all Christians. It's one of the foundational doctrines of Christ. Talked about in Hebrews chapter 6, the laying on of hands. They went everywhere, laying on hands and healing the sick. And it says in Mark 16, and these signs will follow them, believe they shall speak with new tongues. It's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. People will know they have the Holy Spirit, and you will know they have the Holy Spirit because God will give them that, what I would call a prayer language to worship and praise God, an indication that the Holy Spirit has come upon them. Now, we're going to talk tomorrow about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because Peter says that when a person repented, when they were baptized, when they received the remission of their sins, then they shall receive the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow. God bless you as you study his word.